Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne, and we have our sweet Kendra back.
It's good to be here.
For this special Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. I just got into that real fast. We're excited to have you back, though, even on maternity leave.
Yes, I had to poke my head in.
You did.
Just for our special Christmas edition of Hannah's Heart.
And I'm excited. It feels good to have you sitting by me.
But I did have a beautiful baby. Her name is Amelia Grace. And we are in the glow. We are in the afterglow.
You are glowing.
And it's just, the Lord is so good.
Your eyes don't even look tired.
I'm fooling you. For anyone who is just wondering what it'll be like when the Lord answers the cry of your heart, He's so good.
He's so good.
And we'll have to go in depth later into that part of our story. But there were so many. I think we've talked about the phrase God winks on this show.
Yeah.
And I had so many God winks with just her labor and recovery and our time since then. My heart is just so full, and I can't, like, 7 years ago when I was single and wondering if God would ever bring a husband along and literally wondering, do I have to lay down these dreams, and had told the Lord, like, I'll serve you and follow you no matter what it looks like. I'd hoped that this was what His answer would be, but I didn't know. But I'm I'm glowing at his goodness.
That's so good. Well, and that brings us in, I feel like, to this wonderful Christmas story. We know that, honestly, Christmas can kind of be hard.
So hard.
As you're walking through infertility for a lot of reasons, right? For just because of celebrating with family and friends, and maybe you don't feel like celebrating because you don't have that after baby glow that we're talking
or
about
right
now.
Or you had a loss. You're literally in the thickest part of grief, and now everybody expects you to hang up twinkle lights.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't want to even look at twinkle lights.
Yeah. And then you're singing songs about, you know, for unto us a child is born. And you're like seeing
and
Christmas.
Joy to the world.
I'm holding a baby. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm not feeling it.
Right. Not feeling holly and jolly.
Yeah.
All the things. Mm-hmm. And then we also think about a girl who didn't even try to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, like just
I'm getting it everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. We just hear this all the time. And
then you feel guilty for not delighting in the fact that Jesus was born. And you're like, I know, like, that I should be feeling all of, you know,
all
this,
the things.
Like,
celebratory.
Gratefulness. Yes. And it's like, how do I get my heart back situated? And so, we just wanted to talk about, one, to not validate your feelings, but acknowledge that we've been there, sister. Mm-hmm. We have been there. But also to give you some tips to help find joy in the middle of the season and to get the focus off of your hurt and on our amazing Savior.
That's right. So we all know the story of Jesus, but I do think that we might should start out there.
Yeah.
And just let's center this episode on why we are here in the first place to celebrate our Savior's birth. So I'm going to start out. We know that they traveled, Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, and that she went into labor while they were. I still wonder, like, what that was like. Like, did she say, like, hey, Joseph, I think in the next little bit, baby's going to be coming. And so he was like, oh, we got to find a room somewhere. Like, what was that like?
We had a race to the hospital with our Amelia. Like, literally, my husband drove 80, and we hit railroad tracks, and I flew up, and I was like, if you do not slow down, you're going to have to catch the baby. And we got to, and I was just thinking, Lord, please don't let this baby come in the car. But it's funny, because I thought about Mary, and I was like, can you imagine Joseph scooping up manure to make a space. Mm. Like, birth is already, like, a terrifying experience if you've never been. And Mary had never been through birth.
Mary was a little girl in today's time.
Wasn't there with her. She's traveled. Like, that's the other thing. My mom missed the labor by 10 minutes. And I was like, Mary probably didn't have... She drove down from Kentucky and literally, like, baby came 10 minutes before she arrived. But Mary didn't have her family or her support team, and God came into a dirty, filthy barn. That just blows my mind.
I know. So we even, the kiddos watching, we try to, you know, let them watch the Christmas story, true Christmas story, however they can, and that, you know, they might understand it more and more. But there's an episode that we were watching the other day, and just in the background, I heard, in a little kid voice say, like, where was the Savior born, Mama? Like, in a castle? And, you know, the person telling the story, she was like, no, not in a castle. And, I thought that, like, our Savior could have been born in a castle if he wanted to. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And but
the royal dignitary was if you think about the royals and how much attention they get.
Oh,
if a baby
word.
Was coming, it would be, like, on the news, and it would be the best hospital ever. All experts.
Yes, all the things.
The best team.
Know. Well, even us, like, we're not going to go outside and with the donkeys and have a baby.
Right.
But that is what happened, and that's where humility was born, you know, that being our Savior being born in a stable. And, you know, we know the story that he didn't come the way that everyone was expecting him to come. Everyone was looking for royalty.
Yeah.
And he was. Yeah. He is royalty, but he didn't come the way that we all would have expected him to. I know if I was back in that time, I wouldn't have thought, like, I bet in the stable. That's where this king's going to be born. Yeah. But that's where he was born. And so they were there, and she has a baby. And it says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn.
Drove 80 on the donkey.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And so just to think, I cannot imagine being the innkeeper that said, I have no room.
All the ones that closed the door on the Messiah.
Yeah. So how are we going to make room for Jesus this year? How are we going to make room in the rest of the time? You know, right now is this recording. We still have 2.5 weeks until Christmas. You know, how are we going to make sure he's welcomed in our home and that we have room for him in our hearts during this time? Even if we're walking through infertility or walking through other heartache, we have, you know, heartache of John Micah not being with us again this Christmas. This Christmas feels different because it was like, okay, I've already done this before. I've walked through Christmas without him being here. But the thought of doing it again almost ticks me off. And it feels odd. I'm not, like, I'm still sad and burdened and all the things, but I'm also a little angry about it this year. And I didn't realize that would...
But you'd still have to process those
It's all new again. And so, you know, if this Christmas looks different than what you would have wanted it to.
You know, when you shared on your really powerful episode, you guys need to go listen to it, but when you shared about losing John Micah, I think you talked about how it changed your perspective of God giving his only son once you knew what it was like to lose a child.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about how there's so many of us around Christmas that were like, God, just give me a baby. Just give me a child. Just give me a child. And we don't ever pause to think that he did. Maybe not one that we got to raise and got to hold. That's not what
That's
we meant.
Good, Kendra.
You know, we meant, I want to hold him and raise him. But God sent his son. He did send a child.
He sent a baby.
Yeah. And what did we do? You know, granted, we weren't the ones who drove the nails into his hands, but it was because of our sin that that happened. And, you know, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You know, that we put him on a cross, and that was God's child. That was his baby.
Yeah, goodness. And that's so heavy, and but it is so true. And I feel like we have to acknowledge that, Kendra, and just to know, that's so good to think about. Like, God did send a baby. He didn't have to send a child. You know, he could have done things a whole lot differently, but he did. He sent a Savior in the form of a baby, and he was fully man, but fully supernatural as well, you know? And so it's something that, I can't make my mind understand how all that works, but just to know that, you know, your sins are covered because of this infant baby. And
the scripture talks about that he was bruised for our transgressions, you know, and that, that by his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
That word that's healed, it's talking about all kinds of healing. It's not just, it's salvation kind of healing, full restoration, but it's also talking about iniquity, infirmity. And so wrapped up within his stripes is that there's no infertility in heaven. Mm-hmm. There's no child loss. Now, granted, there's no marriage in heaven because it's all different. But I just want to say a quick word to anyone who feels like the grief is crushing them from what you're going through. We live in a fallen, broken world, and Jesus came to conquer that, to defeat it. And in heaven, there are no tears. So if you're like, I can't cry anymore over this deep desire that I have in my heart, Jesus came so that eventually you won't have to, you know, and if you walk with him long enough, I don't know on this side of heaven what your journey is going to look like, but I know on the other side of heaven, there are no tears and he wipes them all away.
Right. Well, and as we still do have tears this side of heaven, if we allow the Lord, he can fully take care of those tears. Mm-hmm. And right, like what you're saying, the answer to our prayers, to our, I don't know if you say problems, desires, those things might not be what we're wanting it to be right now. But if we allow the Lord, he will provide in ways that we could never imagine and better than we could ever imagine. And, you know, that we're not going to understand all the bad things that go on this side of heaven, and we weren't meant to. Mm-hmm. But it is because we live in a broken world that those things even happen.
Yeah. There's another aspect of the story that we've talked about before with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and you can listen to those episodes too. But I wanted to just real quickly touch on that because if you've ever struggled with infertility and you're like, I don't want to read the Christmas story, go read about Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, because they did not have children.
That's right.
And it says, I'm going to read, this is in Luke chapter 1, both of them, you know, because Zechariah was a priest, he was from the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. So, like, what I just love about that story is that it reminds us that whether you have a child or not is not dependent upon your grade as a Christian.
That's right.
You know, like there are none of us that are excellent. When it says that they were observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, I think that just means that this is the kind of person that wanted to serve God and their heart was situated. Obviously, we're all sinners, but they were trying to do things right, you know? And some of us feel like, Lord, you owe me. You know, well, here's a couple that they were both old. Barring a miracle, God had closed the door on them having a child. And we live in a day and age that, like, we know later with Jesus that, you know, there was a blind man and the people came to Jesus and they were like, was it his sins or the sins of his parents that caused him to be blind? Like, they lived in a culture that if you had an infirmity, blamed your actions, that you had sinned to cause it. So I just think about poor Elizabeth and Zechariah, like all the guilt they might have felt and condemnation from others, and yet there was nothing that they had done. This was just the result of living in a fallen world. And if you carry on reading their story, and I won't go into complete depth, but I just love, you know, Elizabeth ends up conceiving.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, there's the whole, like, Zechariah doesn't believe the angel in the beginning, and God, like, literally shuts his mouth for, like, 9 months until the baby is born, which that'll tell you, like, don't. Like, if the Lord says he's going to do something, don't
question it.
Don't question him.
Yeah.
But later, we have this, you know, Elizabeth, this become John the Baptist, the baby that Zechariah and Elizabeth have, becomes the person who points everybody to Jesus. It's Jesus's cousin. And it's like this huge, important role in his life. And, you know, there's the scene where Mary greets, or Elizabeth greets Mary, and she, the baby, you know, John the Baptist leaps in the womb, and they say, you know, this is amazing, you know, my Lord has come to me, and it just says, for nothing is impossible with God. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that phrase. For anyone who's struggling with infertility or miscarriage, you might be too scared to even say that, for nothing is impossible with God.
It is
because
scary,
you don't know if it's going to happen or not. But the longer I've done the show, the more I've just seen miracles happen. And the
over and over again.
And the more my confidence in the goodness of God just keeps increasing. That I don't know how he's going to move, but I know that nothing is impossible with him. And you keep asking him. Be that widow that keeps knocking on the door and saying, God, I'm 43, but I still have this desire. You know, don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, look, it says she was very old. I don't know how old very old was, but I think it was a lot older than 43. I picture her being 80. I don't know. Who knows? I have to do some research on that to see, but keep asking the Lord, and just allow your heart to breathe in those words, for nothing is impossible with God.
That's right. So this Christmas season, what does it look like to believe that? To believe that nothing is impossible with God, you know?
Well, I think we can approach the season with joy and with confidence, knowing that even though there might be moments that we fall apart, that God is with us in them, even then. You know, if you go to, I remember going to a Christmas candlelight service and crying, and just like, but it was a sweet cry. It was like, God, I have this ache, but I also feel your presence here, you know? And like, I think I was a little scared to go because I was so raw emotionally. Have the confidence to just know you can worship the Lord and he's going to meet you there. What about for you?
All that. one thing. So this, I don't even know if this really makes sense on why I would be saying this. So with John Micah, I started singing Christmas songs to him. I really don't know why. In June of last year. And why was I singing Silent Night, Holy Night? To him in June?
Yeah.
I don't exactly know. But I think the Lord used that to allow me to get to sing Christmas songs to him when he was still alive, you know? And so for some reason that has hit differently this year, you know, hearing that song, of course, it just brought me to my knees just about, you know, just being sad, but knowing that I got to sing him that song while he was alive. And so hopefully, you know, he heard that, you know. But yeah, to realize, you know, God is still good, you know, like that is such still a holy time. It was such a holy night. That the night that he was born, and I don't know really why I'm sharing that about getting to sing that to John Micah, but I guess it's just a sweet thing to me that the Lord allowed me to sing Christmas songs to him in June because he knew he wouldn't be here in December. But that's a special thing to me now, as you know, now I'm getting to sing these songs with Nora, who is here now, and then the other two that were already here, but getting to share that with them and to know that I had still that experience with John Micah, I'm just thankful for. But yeah, to just, I guess, to know that the Lord is in this season. And I feel like we can get so wrapped up. Kids or not kids, the season's busy, right? And so going to different Christmas parties, depending on what your job is, if you're a teacher or in that line of work, like you're doing stuff to entertain kids all the time, whether they're your kids or not, you know?
Right.
And so I know our lives look so different, but I do feel like the season can get so wrapped up into presents and cooking and cleaning and, you know, all the things that you're supposed to, like, for some reason America has made like this huge checklist of everything you need to get done in 25 days, you know? And so I feel like we can put so much pressure on us, on ourselves to get all that done. But if we would slow down and enjoy the season that was really made to really relish in the goodness of God and that he sent his son here for us.
And I'm just going to add one more little tip. If you desire to splurge on gifts for children, but you're struggling with infertility and there's no kids in your family, do it. There are so many ways that you can bless other children that need to be blessed. Like we've talked about this before, but like Operation Christmas Child, which I think as of now, it might be too late to pack a shoebox for this year. write it down to do it for next year. But you can still go online and you can give to The Greatest Journey, and that helps the program that delivers the shoeboxes. And eventually they are going to get all of the toys and all of the things. There's like, I think, toys for tots. There's
Angel Tree.
Angel Tree. You've talked about even just people in the foster care community like having extra, donating extra toys so that if there's a kid in foster care, they have a Christmas.
It's so needed. There's, I mean, there's kids in foster care that get taken Christmas Eve night, you know, or the day before Christmas Eve, you know. So like those kids sometimes
don't have a Christmas.
Right. I mean, we had
under the tree
kids brought to our house that had the clothes on their back. And I think the smallest one had a teddy bear with her. And that was all she had. And so, yeah, if you are unable to get gifts, you know, for your own children this year, that want doesn't have to go to waste. You can use that want to get other kiddos gifts if your heart will allow it. And we do talk about, I think it's okay every now and then to get your future kiddo something.
I like that.
I remember, I think we shared that with each other. We would do that every now and then. I had a little box that turned into a drawer, you know, that I think I've shared about that my mom would help me fill. But, you know, to just let yourself go pick out something if you want to. To have that in your house somewhere to know, like, okay, maybe by next Christmas, God, I'll be giving this as a Christmas gift to that baby that's in my house.
Well, and to that point, like, I think, I don't know about you, but I used to mark Christmases as the passing of time, you know, you buy gifts. And so it's like maybe next year mentality.
Yes.
I think part of what made Christmas so hard for me was that it was like, oh, wow, I've been trying for a whole nother year.
Yeah.
You know,
a whole nother Christmas.
I don't know what it is, but a baby by Christmas is always what, you know, and I've had family members say that, oh, maybe this year, maybe by Christmas, you know, there's just something magical about either being pregnant or having a baby by Christmas. If you're worried about time, because that was a big deal for me, was feeling like my biological clock was ticking and I was running out of time, and that it caused a lot of anxiety for me. When you go back and you read the Christmas story, I want you to make note of how many prophecies were fulfilled in one night with Jesus.
Yeah,
because
so many.
There are historians who have talked about the chances of, like, Jesus fulfilling all of the prophecies. You know, he was born in Bethlehem. He, you know, he had the miraculous escape to Egypt. He had to go to Egypt. That was part of a prophecy. You know, he had to be born a virgin. It was like so many things. God declared the end from the beginning. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. It's the Proto-Evangelium, I think it's called. It's like the phrase that means the first scripture to prophesy about the Messiah. And it's in the very beginning, literally Genesis chapter 3, where God promises that one of Eve's descendants is going to come and is going to crush the serpent's head. It happens. Not only does, like, it happen, but it checks off every single box, every single prophecy. Yeah. God's timing is literally perfect. And his, you know, he declares the end from the beginning. So for him, like, Jesus coming and dying on the cross was already done when he declared it in Genesis 3. So if you feel like, I don't know what God has in your future, but he has joy, he has hope, he has a family for you, it's already done. You know, like the timing, God is not constrained by time.
No.
So don't allow anxiety, don't allow the one more year passing to cause you to have a panic attack like it did me.
Well, no, I agree, because it can definitely feel fleeting. I mean, really. And like, I feel like even in our culture today, even after you have kids, then you have these articles that are out on social media everywhere, only 18 summers.
Yeah.
And it's like, good gracious. Yeah. Like, so let me, you know, relinquish.
So precious. Yeah, so fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
But soak up this time as just you and your spouse. I know it can be hard just being you and your spouse, but when a kiddo comes, it is no longer about you and your spouse. And so soak up this time. Make memories together. If you want to bake cookies with your spouse. You know, I encourage you to go share those cookies with family and friends, or you know, do stuff that's special.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I'd love for us to just close in a quick prayer, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for anyone who is listening who just needs to feel your joy. And I just ask that you would pour your joy into their hearts this season, Lord, that it would not come from external circumstances, but it would literally be the joy of the Lord welling up inside of them as a bubbling fountain, God, to help them. And those that are walking through grief this season, Lord, that you would help them to understand that they can hold grief in one hand and joy in the other at the same time, that joy does not mean an emotion or happiness, but joy is just rooted in knowing who you are and that you love us and that we can trust you. And I pray for anyone grieving, Lord, that that you would be with them this season and help them to trust in your promises and to rejoice in the gift that you gave us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Well, Merry Christmas, friends.
Merry Christmas. Hey, keep following us on Hannah's Heart at AFA.net. We'd love to connect with you guys.
That's right.